A Valley Center girl raises money for other kids' lunches. I'm Suzanne Perez, and welcome to The Range.
Support for The Range comes from Fidelity Bank and listeners like you.
Coming up, bringing classical music to the masses.
Breaking down some of those barriers for people who feel that classical music isn't for them.
But first, during the pandemic, public schools provided free meals to every student, regardless of their family's ability to pay. But when that federal program ended in 2022, school meal debt in Kansas skyrocketed beyond pre-pandemic levels. In the Valley Center School District, one sixth grader is organizing an effort to pay off other students' lunch tabs, with a goal to end meal debt there entirely. Daniel Caudill reports.
It was an experience during the season of giving that led 12-year-old Lizzie Chobad to question why people don't give more during the rest of the year. Lizzie volunteered this past Christmas to hand out presents with the Salvation Army's Angel Tree, a program that collects holiday gifts for families in need.
I asked my mom, how come that we don't do that for like birthdays and we can't do that all year round? And so we thought of some way to give all year round to kids still and back to the community.
That's when she got the idea to sell t-shirts as a fundraiser to tackle student meal debt in Valley Center schools. Lizzie sells the shirts through a family friend's online storefront. Right now, she offers two different shirt designs, one with Valley Center Hornets branding and another that says Be Kind. Her mom, Kelly, says that shirt has been a big hit in the community.
So Lizzie's goal is to keep it going by making new designs for the Be Kind. Lizzie has always had a Be Kind philosophy, a Be Kind heart.
Lizzie plans to eventually put the designs on tumbler cups, which are popular among kids her age. So far, Lizzie has raised about $900 with a goal of raising nearly $4,000. She says the community support has been encouraging.
They want to be involved somehow, but not everybody also has the resources to be involved, and so I'm another way for them to get involved.
Lizzie also hopes the program can one day be successful enough to establish a running account. The funds would be used to cover any new meal debt in the district. School meal debt has been on the rise across Kansas since 2022, when the federal government ended a COVID-era program to give free meals to all students. A 2024 study by Kansas Appleseed found that total meal debt in Kansas was nearly six times what it was before the pandemic. Jessica Kerr is with Kansas Appleseed. She says school meal debt can create a stigma against kids with a negative balance.
When students have meal debt, some skip lunch altogether. They just don't even want to be in the line. They don't want to be identified as, why do I have to have a different meal?
Policies vary from district to district, but students with a negative balance often get an alternative meal, and those alternative meals are frequently smaller and less nutritious.
So that impact of students who are not nutritionally getting what they need to learn and focus and stay on task for the day, but then also feeling singled out.
Many districts pay off student meal debt at the end of the year, pulling funds from other areas in the budget. Some districts instead send the debt to collectors. To address the problem on a systematic level, anti-hunger advocates say lawmakers could adopt standards on handling meal debt, or even just pay for all student meals up front. But for now, the state is relying in part on organizers like Lizzie to ensure kids can afford a proper meal at school. For The Range, I'm Daniel Caudill.
If you've ever attended a symphony performance, you might notice a code of conduct that the audience is expected to follow. One organizer is looking to loosen those rules with relaxed events that make chamber music more accessible. Hugo Fan has more on this month's Culture Pop.
Classical music can sometimes feel a little stuffy.
Acoustically perfect.
You're expected to be silent and follow a degree of decorum during performances. But an organization called Classical Revolution ICT hopes to change that by introducing classical music to casual spaces and modern audiences.
Instead of a hushed room with scripted applause and breath mints to prevent you from coughing, we encourage conversation around classical music and breaking down some of those barriers for people who feel that classical music isn't for them.
That's Alex Johnson. After attending a Classical Revolution performance in Florida, Johnson was inspired to open a chapter here in Wichita.
We started at our coffee house in August of 2022, and then we switched to Tor Brewing in the spring of 2023, and we've been there monthly ever since. And then in July 2025, we started at Sand Hills Brewing in Hutchinson. We're doing that monthly, and then we're going to switch to doing more of a seasonal setup this year.
Johnson wanted to offer an outlet for local classical musicians to experiment in a casual and low-stakes setting.
So when I brought Classical Revolution to Wichita, we were very intentional about trying to build community around classical music and creating that casual, inviting atmosphere where musicians and the audience could have fun around classical music and have kind of a experimental yet also performance space to perform our art.
So, how does it work? Well, Johnson assembles an ensemble to perform at a local brewery or coffee shop. Casual conversation is encouraged, and musicians engage with the audience. She also wants to make sure that musicians feel like their time is valued.
It is a paid gig, so we pay our musicians based on if they're a soloist or part of a chamber group, and we collect donations from the audience and some support from the venues to help compensate our musicians for performance.
During a performance at Hutchinson Sand Hills Brewing, vocalist Lauren Storm provides context for the piece she is about to sing.
So this is we go from Dido's lament now to Orpheus's lament, and I'll be singing his role in this aria.
The type of music that is played ranges from Baroque to contemporary. Johnson, who plays the bassoon, likes to play modern pieces by women composers.
We are opening the door to classical music for people who never thought that it would be something they'd be interested in, or families who can't maybe afford to go to the symphony all the time because our events are free to attend.
For The Range, I'm Hugo Fan.
Before we go, a few words on tea time. Last weekend, while Rory McIlroy won his second straight Masters title, three generations of girls in our family went to American Girl Place in Dallas for a different kind of tea time. Four generations, I suppose, if you count the doll. Afternoon tea at the Doll Cafe features a tower of fancy canapes fit for pretend queens, cucumber sandwiches, chocolate-covered strawberries, and heart-shaped PB&Js. Morgan and I wore flowered dresses. Granddaughter Clara donned a pink number with butterfly wings. And Clara's American Girl doll, Courtney, wore her finest pink scrunchie. As we snacked, I recalled a similar tea party years ago with my daughter Hannah and her doll Molly. These days of make-believe are fun but fleeting, so they are worth cherishing. With a pinky up, I'll drink to that. Thanks for joining us on The Range. Our producers are Beth Golay, Carly Cooper, Jonathan Huber, and Luann Stevens. Our digital producer is Hugo Fan, and Torin Anderson composed our theme music. The executive producer of The Range is Fletcher Powell. I'm Suzanne Perez, and this is KMUW, NPR for Wichita.
Maybe you already know about naked short selling. Maybe you've personally shorted stocks yourself. But do you know about the time short sellers ruined a Super Bowl, basically?
For me, I was a little late, but red flags went up like, what is going on? This is really scary.
At Planet Money, we get the story behind the money to explain how money works. Listen on the NPR app or wherever you get your podcasts.